Hello and welcome to the Reality Check podcast, and welcome to the very first podcast. This podcast, we're going to be discussing men's mental health, and today there is three of us going to be exploring that. And the reason that we're doing this particular podcast is because last week, as part of the radio show, we started to talk about mental health, and we went into the concept of a package that we deliver, which is called Let the Boy Die and Allow the Man to Live. And what that particular package is about, it focuses on that internal decision-making process that we all have. But we're going to focus that really down today in looking at mental health, and in particular mental health for men. And the first thing that I really want to talk about is the terminology, mental health. I don't know about you two guys, but, you know, for me, the terminology, mental health, it just brings a lot of negative connotations. Glenn, what do you think?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It does, and I think that in many ways it's the word mental is often has those connotations of asylums, perhaps back in the day, and psychiatric places, and we can look at, you know, and some of those there's been some horror stories back in the past from those places, hasn't there?
Of course, yeah.
And there's films as well, you know, in a fictional sense, you know, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and things like that have that imagery, create that imagery for us. And I think that, you know, moving away from that is probably a good thing, because anything that has a connotation or has some form of pre-existing feeling of judgment, if that prevents one person from opening up, then we should seek to change that.
You know, one of the things that that really fascinate me is the difference, or what is the difference between mental health for males and mental health for females. Jazz, you know, we've been talking now for quite some time about the reality check and some of the things that you've been up to. But I know that you've studied men's mental health and you've researched it. For you, what is the difference? Or is there a difference? Or is that just a perceived difference?
No, I do feel like there is a difference, and this is like we were saying on the radio. Obviously, women were raised with the idea that it's okay to cry, that emotions are normal, and that, you know, like you talk to your parents, you talk to your friends, and that's all normal. But as guys grew up, it seems that they were raised with more around in an environment where being a man is being strong, being the caretaker of the family, being the breadwinner, and just being not a weak figure, which obviously is kind of hard to say and kind of hard to understand, because everyone is different, and although you are a man, you are also human. So for the sake of not being allowed to have emotions, it's quite saddening, really, because you're a man.
Absolutely. And I think isn't it strange, really, how we have, and it's not just with men's mental health, it's with so many different things. It's like, if you're a boy, you're going to be getting a blue t-shirt, and if you're a girl, you're going to get a pink t-shirt.
Yeah, and if you're a boy with a pink shirt, then you look like some type of way, you're not as manly as you're supposed to be.
Absolutely.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. And from a young age and later in life, you know, I've got quite a few pink shirts. They look good, but when I was at school, I wouldn't have, back at school, you know, as a child, I'd be like, no way.
I nearly wore a pink shirt today, but the unfortunate thing is I had to iron it, and I haven't got the time
to iron it.
You've
got a pinkish jumper.
I've got, that's right, it's called salmon. Is this called salmon pink? Salmon pink. I'm actually okay with whatever colour I wear, if I'm being honest with you. But the reality of it is that, you know, mental health has become a huge topic of late. A huge topic of late. I think COVID-19 had the huge impact, where people were sort of restricted to be doing the things that actually for them defined them, like going off to work or driving the cars or going on the holidays or having the stuff around them. And it gave them that space and time, and it gave us all that space and time to ask those deeper sense questions of like, so who am I really? And what am I really thinking, and what am I really feeling?
Yeah, definitely. I think as well, and it's really interesting to think about, and now we're a little bit further forward, so we can think about the pandemic and last year and how completely unusual that was to everybody.
Mm.
And for many people, that will have had a direct, you know, will have, well, it's impacted all of us, but some more than others, depending on what industries they worked in or what jobs they did. And one thing that I think interests me would be, it's people that have perhaps they hadn't focused on their own mental health because they had no need to, because they were in a comfortable position. And we fall into comfort quite easily, where it's like, you know, you've got your job and that's nice and secure, and every week you go to work and you get paid and you do the things that you like to do in your leisure time. And I imagine there's a lot of people that perhaps haven't had the need until last year to actually even think about their mental health. And then we saw the furlough, the redundancies, the people that had, you know, some people that were on furlough had spent a large amount of time not working, understandably, because they were being paid waiting for their job to come back.
Yeah.
And that would be a massive disruption to their lives, you know. And I think it's I've no doubt that lots of people that perhaps hadn't had to consider mental health or had any issues probably for the first time experienced that last year.
I think that's really interesting, Glenn, because for me, I think that it's easier to say that, have I got a mental well-being issue? And the answer is yes, every single day,
yeah,
without a shadow of a doubt. And I assume that it's the same for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, because we all go through life and we don't willingly and wantonly to sort of feel bad, feel negatively, and be doing negative and bad things. So what we do is that we manage that through every day. Now, there are some times, we talked a couple of weeks ago on the radio station about the curveball when things come along that are unexpected, like COVID,
yeah,
and have those huge impacts, not just on the restrictions on what it is that we do, but the way that we think and feel. And I think that although you're right in what you're saying, is that there is, for lots of people, they didn't have to think about mental health, and that's because they hadn't got the time.
Mm.
I think
that's what I was thinking, you know, yeah, because even me, as an adult now, yeah, you don't, there's so much going on in your life. By the time you've got up, gone to work, come back to feed yourself and put yourself to bed, you don't even have time to think about, am I right? Like,
right,
breathe. You know, it's actually quite non-stop and constant. So what you were saying, like, before about having that moment to check in with yourself, to stop and evaluate, what am I feeling and how am I? I think it's very important.
I think it is, because I think that just because you're not thinking about your mental health and it doesn't seem to be an issue doesn't mean that there isn't a problem, yes, bubbling under the surface. And I think that type of situation where day in, day out, I don't have time to think about it, you're a ticking time bomb.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I think one of the big things is, though, you know, the curveballs. And when we discussed the curveballs before, you can get some small curveballs like...
Not having tea bags.
We talked a couple of weeks ago about, you know, the different types of curveballs. And Jazz was talking about how she got home after a long day and there was no tea bags. And it was a curveball because it was like, ah.
I was looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And it was just, yeah.
But there are those curveballs that come along that actually just wipe us out. Completely 100% wipe us out. And the unfortunate thing is with them, when we haven't got the positions and the opportunities and space to discuss that, that's where all these other things that we are supposedly okay with, like the secure jobs and the amount of time you've got to do this and the spinning of 18 plates. And for me, that I describe this living as like living on the far side of complexity. People actually manage and live their lives on the far side of complexity, and one thing's going to have an impact on another, and if they don't do this, then that won't happen, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What we're trying to do here with the reality check is to be bringing people to the near side of simplicity, and that is, how do you think, how do you feel, and what is it you want to do? You know, yeah, is it right that you should be doing these things? And bringing it really simply. Really, really simply. So I agree with you, Glenn. I really, really do. That at the end of the day, it's only when something occurs that we get that sort of slap up the face or the kick up the bum,
the crash.
You know, and you say, okay, what's going on now?
Yeah,
what's going on now? I think for me, the worst part about it is that when I have those curveballs, I used to call them dark days. You know, and you'd have these very light days and I'd be very happy and, you know, and then I'd have these darker days. Well, I've actually changed the terminology of that very simply from going from a dark day to a quiet day, you know, and it brings a completely different energy to it because, you know, the moment that I've got a light day, I can then start to ask myself the questions and, you know, hopefully get somebody else to sort of reflect with me to ask us, so why am I thinking like this? Why am I feeling like this? And why am I doing the things that I am doing? And I think, to be honest with you, taking a little bit of time out with a quiet day or a quiet hour or whatever it is, it's the one thing that we've all stopped doing. We've all stopped doing. And I think from a male point of view, I find it interesting that I still have those reactional emotions and thoughts that are a barrier to me to being completely 100% open all the time about the way that I'm thinking and feeling.
That's so weird or foreign to me, and obviously with no disrespect, because I have no feeling like that. When I feel like emotional or stressed or upset, the first thing I want to do is call my friends and talk, you know, either vent or get it off my chest, or if it's to go around to my friend's house or my mum's house and cry and, you know, feel that I'm not alone. That's the first thing that comes to my head to think like, I don't want to, like, not that I don't want to be alone, but I want to talk to someone right now.
That really is the second thing that comes into my head.
Okay.
Because that first thing is a very reactional thing for me. And I'm not saying this is because I am a man, but this is me as a person. That very first reactional thing is that I don't want to say I'm not coping. I don't want to say I'm feeling upset or I'm feeling this. But it's a little bit like my road rage. You know, I can jump in the car at any one time and I'm very, very happy. I do potter around at like 30, 40 miles an hour at best.
Yeah.
And I'm quite happy with that because it actually attracts less incidents of where, you know, my road rage reacts inside. It's almost like you can feel it in your tummy and it just rises up and I just push it back down and say, it's okay. And just let it go. But there are those big things.
Your hand's like near the horn. You're like, no, move it away.
To be honest. And I think part of dealing with all of that is being able to recognise that I know me.
Yeah.
And I think the problem with when we get into these states of where minds and emotions aren't as clear as they normally are, I think it really is important to talk. Really, really important to talk. And I think that's the biggest thing here that we have forgot. Part of this podcast here is not just talking about men's mental health, but it's about trying to find solutions and ways and resolve to enable people to say, actually, I'm important enough.
Yeah, and I think it's important and it's quite good that you mentioned that, because I feel a lot of people, like men and women, when they're reacting to something or something is happening to them, sometimes it's quick or easier to push the blame onto someone else. But as you've said here, like, you know yourself and that's not who you are. So you kind of have that self-control to kind of bring yourself back to, you know, your true self and not allow the road rage to come out.
Well, I actually, it's not necessarily the truth that I've got that down to a T. I'm very, very, okay. I'm very, very lucky that I also surround myself with people that know me.
Yeah.
You know, I've got an amazing array of people that actually know when something's not right.
Yeah.
You know, when I have a quiet day, it's not the end of the world, you know, but people check in and, are you okay and everything all right? And if it isn't, I'll say, no, I just need to just check this out.
Yeah.
And I actually feel quite strong with that.
Yeah.
I can definitely relate to that. I mean, just through the relationship I have with my wife, and we're both open, and I've had mental health issues in the past, and so has she, to be fair. And
yeah.
Don't mind me sharing that. But having that ability to check in with each other, and actually it's something that you just talking about that there, it's something that thinking about it, I very much do in many cases take for granted.
Yeah.
Having that balance of, and we talk about it even to the extent of some days, it's like some days she'll be having a dark day. Did you say?
No, quiet no, day for
a
me.
A quiet day.
Quiet yes. day, yeah.
She'll
yeah.
be having a quiet day and I'll be really positive because that's how I feel that day. And,
yeah.
and other days it'll be completely reversed. And what we tend to find is on those days, it what the other person can bring you back up, because you know, where they're perhaps being a little bit, you know, all of the behaviours that come out, you know, I've got, if it's her time to have a quiet day, I've got the strength to be able to almost like absorb some of it, absorb some of that energy, and be overly positive and overly supportive and feed that back. And she does exactly the same when the role is reversed. Sometimes, if we're both having a quiet day, that's when things can escalate. And
of course,
you know, that is what it is. But that's definitely in the minority. That's less of the time, you know. And it's.
I think it's natural anyway. It's very normal, you know, because I can imagine if two people like who are living together or in a relationship or having a quiet day, it's hard to kind of push both of you, each other, to become positive. You kind of need that moment to dwell in it, to understand how you're feeling, to take a step back, like Nigel says, and to reflect, and then, you know, start again and recharge.
But I think the thing, and I'm now thinking, I'm thinking, gosh, if I was in a situation, like if I had to deal with that on my own, I'd need a whole different set of coping strategies in many ways. And just thinking about that now, thinking aloud, you know, that actually put a bit of fear into my, oh God. And that is the reality for some people and for people that are listening here today. Yep. And it's about having, like you said, that support network that you have, those people that know when you're not okay. That's really important. And we are very lucky to have that. And it's about, how do we help the people that? How can we be that support network for other people? Yeah.
Absolutely,
how can we be that support network for other people.
And I think that's part of us putting this series of podcasts together, so that we can start to share with people that. Because I think the first thing is, for me, when I go through those periods of times of reflection and deeper sense of thought, is that it almost feels like I'm on my own.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, I don't want to tell anybody this, you know, I don't want to sort of get anyone to think that this is not good. Mm. And it almost feels like I'm on my own. But when you start talking about it, and the way that you've just explained it there with Amy is that, well, that's an everyday occurrence. Mm. And so it really brings strength in for me to sort of recognize that this needs to be turned around from being this very negative stuff. Mm. To being very positive. As I said, I feel quite strong as a person, knowing that, like, I think a variety of different things every single day.
Mm.
There are certain things that are completely out of my control that can come along that's unexpected. We can call it the curveball, whatever it is. And I can start to recognise and sort of take on board that things aren't going the way that I want them to, but I recognise that. And the moment that I actually recognise that, then I can start to put some things into place. One of the things that always gets me is, for myself, one of the questions I always ask myself is, so what is pushing me forward right now?
Mm, and, that's a good question.
And it really is, because, you know, we ask the questions why. And one of the things that I try to explain it like, it's a little bit like watching an aeroplane. When you see an aeroplane in the sky, and you've got the afterburn, which is like the exhaust system that you can see as a big long line. We could go into a lot of detail about how come that, you know, we've got this exhaust line, the after trail. And basically what it is the hot energy being spat out of the back of the engine. And because of the cold environment, it begins to crystallize and forms the line. We could go into much more detail, but what we do know about that exhaust system at the end of an aeroplane, it doesn't push the aeroplane forward.
Mm.
What pushes the aeroplane forward is the present moment energy that's coming from the engines, which in turn has been controlled by the captain who's sitting in the front of the cockpit. Now, if we were to relate that back to life, it's exactly the same, is that what is behind us, a little bit like the afterburn, that doesn't push us forward.
Mm.
What pushes us forward is our present moment energy. And instead of it being spat out the back of an engine, it's the way that we think.
Yeah.
The way that we think is our present moment energy. And the point of where, you know, and for anybody listening, if you're sort of in those positions of where, you know, you can ask the question, what is pushing me forward? And you can come up with a whole load of I am answers that says, I am angry, I am upset, I am depressed, I am whatever, whatever. You just need to ask the question, first and foremost, why? Mm-hmm. And then also ask the question, so, but is that the truth? Because I know for me, and I don't know about you guys, if I get into one of those states and I'm having to wait to have a conversation with somebody about it, my mind can race really, really quickly. And before you know it, I'm convincing myself that, like, I can't do this anyway. I'm not very good at that anyway. Mm. And what do they think about me? And if I say that, what they'll think? And before you know it, I'm back on the far side of complexity. Far side of complexity. Jazz, I think what was really interesting, what you said there was about your first reaction was to sort of the moment that something is not sort of clicking into place in your head, is that your first reaction there is, I just want to go and talk about this.
Well, I mean, maybe I exaggerated it a bit. Obviously, like, I do want to prefer to talk to people, my friends, my closest friends, than stick to myself and be by myself. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. So... let me think, like, my first reaction, obviously, if something's happening to me, I'd probably be upset, probably try and, you know, not calm myself down, but just relax, and then I think about what's going on, and then I talk to someone, because if I think, whilst I'm thinking about what's going on, if I'm just thinking about it by myself, it's, like, overwhelming to just keep thinking, and I'm kind of an over-worrier, and I'm an overthinker. So I think, I don't know if that's genetic or something, but a lot of my family are like this. But yeah, so like I over worry and overthink things. So sometimes it's nice to kind of bounce off someone that I know that cares about me, that is genuine with me, and say, this is happening and I'm thinking this. And they say, no, calm down, Jasmine. It's not like that. It's you're thinking about it too much, or just relax, or just, and sometimes that can just bring me to peace. And it's like, if I just have that just calming that ear.
Authoritative reassurance.
Yeah. That it's going to be fine. Yeah. But, you know, They might not even know the extent of how serious it is. It feels to me, but their little, it's all right, it's going to be all right, and something that doesn't make me feel so, you know, that is as bad as I think it is, just calms me down, and it just makes me feel better. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I can really relate to that. I'm definitely I would describe myself as a worrier.
Yeah.
But I think, like Nigel says, and to be honest, you know, having had many discussions with Nigel, I've started to ask myself those questions where before I'd just accept that label and let that define me and be like, well, that's why I think like that, because I'm a worrier.
Yeah.
I'm not. I just, you need, it's just having those tools and mechanisms to be able to explore that further.
I think that we're all living in this real fast world now. Real fast world, you know. Many years ago, you'd write a letter to somebody if you wanted to say hello. You know, when I was young, people used to have pen pals.
In the past now.
And where is now? You don't need a pen pal to write a letter.
Put a little scroll in the bird's legs. That's right.
It wasn't that far. It wasn't that long ago, Jazz. But thanks for that. I think we're living in a very, very fast world.
Yeah.
Mega fast world. And it's like you can talk to somebody, you know, on the other side of the world instantly.
Yeah.
Instantly. And you know, and then unfortunately, because of that speed, and we're getting ever so obsessed with the way that social media sees us.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's that expectation as well is moves forward. The speed of technology allows us to communicate quicker. The expectation of response then follows that. And that, I think, can be really damaging from a point of view of, like you say, you send a letter, you wait a couple of days for it to get there, they read it, they write a letter, they send it back, and it's every couple of weeks, oh, I've got a nice letter. Now it's like, you know, you get a text message and it's like, well, I can see they've read it. You know, that
Why haven't they answered? What are they doing?
And it all happens gradually, but then when you look back, you think, wow, you know, we're suddenly really up against it, expecting all these, looking at, being pulled in all these different directions. I think life was a lot simpler back then.
So making life more simple now. So one of the things that I want to throw out there is, and I've got to say that we're not here to tell people what to think or what to say or what to do. We're not. You know, part of the Reality Check radio show, part of the Reality Check One Tribe Network media channel, part of the podcast is here just to provoke thought, just to enable people to start to have the conversation, just to start to recognize that. Because one of the things I was going to pick you up on, but you picked yourself up on, is when you described yourself as, I am a warrior. Because the moment that we, because we all have these internal descriptions of ourselves, you know, and a lot of these internal descriptions of ourselves, it's not that we go around every day and saying, I am this and I am that, you know, but we do have an internal description, exactly the same as if you have sugar in your tea or coffee or you don't. Or whether you like this or you don't. You have this internal description that I am whatever it is. And at some point, what we've got to be very, very careful of is the way that we describe ourselves, because it can just come out of the slip of the tongue, I am a worrier. Now, the moment that you actually say that word along with the I am, that actually embeds again inside of you to say, yeah, you see, you were a worrier.
It reinforces
it, and it just makes it go on. I think part of the conversations that I have is about reminding people. And, you know, and it's not about moaning, groaning and telling people off, because it isn't. But it is about just being able to be picked up and paying it forward, because that's the big thing here. Paying it forward. Sometimes it's really, really difficult, isn't it, when somebody is saying something like, oh, I'm a natural worrier. A lot of people feel really uncomfortable saying, well, why?
Yeah.
Because the moment that you ask why, and, you know, and of course, you know, we've got a rule with all of the reality check interventions, is that rule five is you can't say I don't know.
And it's a rule that I struggle with a lot, but I'm getting to terms with it.
It's a tough rule.
I think by saying that I struggle with it, what I mean is it actually highlights the reason for that rule. Absolutely. Because it's a cop out, isn't it?
It's the easiest cop out.
It's the body. It's like that instinct that kicks in before you say what you mean and what you really feel. The instinct kicks in to shut it down.
Absolutely.
So why? Why do you think you're a warrior? Why are you a warrior?
Silence.
I'm allowed to think for a moment.
No, rule number five. I mean, don't use rule number five. Wait.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it'd be in context, in situations where I would put it down to perhaps thinking ahead of all the things that could go wrong in the situation.
100%. And then
I get told off all the time for this by my wife, and she's like, well, none of that stuff's happened and probably won't happen.
Yes.
And here you are fretting about it. Let's worry about it when it happens.
I can relate very much. I know I'm over worrier and I'm an overthinker, and I just overthink because I'm worried about what I could potentially do wrong if I don't think about all the things that could potentially go wrong or go right. And I don't want to create another issue or a mistake by not thinking about something that I don't want to miss out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But the danger with that, and I've seen this, is that you're investing time and energy in something that actually, if you look back on all of the cases in the past, none of that stuff happened. And if it did, it was the one time it did happen.
Yeah.
And actually, the better investment of your time would be wait till it happens and then try and deal with it pragmatically at that stage.
100%. I agree with that. It's just something that I can't help sometimes. Well, majority of the time, I can't help it.
Well, again, you've just said it. You've just confirmed to yourself, I do this, I know it's not good, but I can't help it.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, and we've got to be so careful. I think that we've also entered into this society and this time in life of where you can upset somebody just by using a word. And I was just about to say, how crazy is it that we have those things in our heads? But then again, we don't want to be offending anybody. But it is crazy that when we know something is not good for us, when we know we're not being, and I'm going to use the word authentic, for whatever your sort of interpretation of authentic, but being the real you. When we are fighting against being who it is that we really are and sharing what we really think and what we really feel, isn't that crazy bit? Isn't that the, you know, because it's like, that's for me, that's what really brings on all of the sort of anxiety, the upsetness, the sort of unknowing, the uncertainty into our life. Because if you don't like scary films, then you don't like scary films. Do you have to justify why you don't like scary films? There are certain things that we don't. You know, it's a little bit like figuring out how do we then start to describe ourselves in the manner that we are. Because if I was to say to you, and I'm going to cough, do you have, excuse me. If I was to say to you, give me one word that you use to describe you that isn't the truth, and I'm going to use yours as I am a worrier.
Mm.
What would you say one is for you,
that
Jeff?
Isn't the
that
truth.
Isn't the truth, but you use on a regular basis.
I don't know, you know.
You have a think, because... And
you can't say you don't know either.
That's right.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we'll be here for a while, because I'll have to think about it.
Okay, well, for me, it's a little bit like, you know, I'm severely dyslexic. And one of the reasons why I find talking easier is because writing stuff down isn't great for me. So I am dyslexic. But I also...
But you asked if it's not true that you call yourself...
if you let me finish, my friend. with my dyslexia, what comes when it comes to writing, I automatically say, I can't do that.
Okay.
Because I've got dyslexia. But the truth of it is that it may take quite a lot longer than somebody that hadn't got dyslexia. It may not be grammatically correct. It may not be put in a format that reads properly. But I can do it.
Mm.
And I do it. And it is the opportunities and the time, taking that time out to really recognise how do we sort of stop ourselves from being who it is that we are. Because if we were to... If this was to be one of our friends, think about some of your friends that you have. And if one of your friends consistently came up to you and was trying to persuade you not to be who it is that you were and to do the things that you want to do and constantly give you reasons why you shouldn't and why you couldn't, well, I'm assuming that you would move away from being friends with that person because they're not encouraging you. That is what we have inside of us. It almost feels for me at times I've got this internal friend that is consistently trying to knock me off the track that I'm on.
Mm. Mm.
And it is not easy. It's not easy to sort of initiate these internal conversations. But I've got to also say, the moment that you get into a conversation about it without the fear of being judged or getting it wrong or having to be perfect, I actually find that it's relatively straightforward. And I think the relief that you get, I know the relief that I get, to a point of where, you know, and it's quite funny because I always say, Sharon, I just need to offload, you know, and it's great. I can sit down and it's like, and it comes out. Mm-hmm. And while it's coming out, whilst I'm going through it, it's like the vast majority of it, I'm recognising, oh, that's not the truth, and that's not the truth, and that. But it just gets rid of it. The moment that you stop talking about it, that's when it sort of, you know, goes inside and it sort of really becomes not good.
Mm.
Not good at all. Question.
Go on.
Question. Somebody said to me the other day about have I ever suffered with mental health? And as we know, that we want to get away with the terminology of mental health, but... Question for you guys, do you think it will ever go away?
What?
When we're talking about the negative side of the way that we think and feel, do you think it ever goes away?
No, maybe not.
No, well,
not entirely.
In my experience, no. I think it's something that you learn mechanisms and techniques to manage. But I think it's always there, and I don't know from a you know, perhaps there's a reason for that in terms.
Are you asking in general, like for everyone or for individually?
No, I'm just asking the question again. I'm just throwing this out there, and there is no prescriptive way of sort of asking or getting an answer to the questions. But I was thinking for me, because the way that a lot of people talk about issues, the way that we think and way that we feel, and they talk about it from the resolve point of view of how do we deal with it then? You know, and there's a part of it that I'm not even quite certain whether you can deal with it so that it's done.
Mm.
You know, it's unlike an examination or a driving test or something. You don't do it and then, hey, you've got the certificate to say you can do it.
Mm.
Yeah, it's really interesting because if you think of it from a point of view of, you know, perhaps physical health, you may have something within you that has gone wrong, and you need to have an operation to have that thing removed, and then you're okay.
Yeah.
And is it possible for that to happen from a mental health point of view or not? I'm not sure. There's not parts of you being removed. You're kind of, it's almost like, I mean, the brain's a complex thing, isn't it?
Isn't it?
And despite years and years of study, there's many things that we still don't know or understand. But is it a case of having to learn how to rewire those pathways to work in a different way for you.
Or is it acceptance?
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because I don't think it ever goes away. Personally, I don't think it ever goes away. It becomes easier with time. But what for me, when I have those thoughts and have those emotions that would take me necessarily down a negative route, I do have to deal with them. You know, but dealing with them in the concept of like, so how do I actually sort of sort this out today? Mm. How am I able to sort of internalize that for my internal narrative to make it better? Because it doesn't ever go away. And why would I want to deny that this is me? And I think this is, for me, one of the big things in males that are going through this. We just need a bit of time to get used to it. Getting used to that point of being able to say, I don't feel right today. I am not that sort of person that I was yesterday or the day before. And that's not to say that I can't be that tomorrow. But it is about rolling with it. Rolling with it and saying, this is who I am.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I saw a stat recently, a couple of bullet points, and one of those that just kind of crosses over with what you were saying is that it's been proven that men are less likely to access psychological therapies than women.
Yes.
And that men also report lower levels of life satisfaction than women, according to a government's national wellbeing survey.
Yeah, I did a lot of studies of this.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, and like a lot of men don't refer themselves to hospital if they're... Only if they're to the point where it means that they can't go to work, like physically injured. Otherwise, they avoid seeing any healthcare centres. They feel that it's less masculine to go... I mean, based on studies, based on, you know, actual feedback from men in studies, they don't feel like it's even in... an environment where it caters to them in a masculine way. So it's like more like, for example, if a man was to go there, they would see more women in there, which would make them feel uncomfortable and as though this is not a place where I should be. And so even when, like, you know, women, or maybe just personally, when I think something's wrong, I get like, oh, I need to go get checked and make sure everything's all right. But with men, it, from studies and what I've heard and what I know, it seems that they just tend to kind of deal with the pain, stay at home, and it will get better as long as it's not innate, like not allowing them to work, basically.
I think things are changing. I really think they are. When you actually start to look at the impact of things like, we're doing a podcast, you know, we started a whole series of podcasts, and this particular one is on men's mental health, and the more we talk about it, that sort of reaction that you're talking about when a male feels pain, whether or not it's with our nether regions, whether it's within our emotions, I think more and more people are actually getting to the point of actually doing something about it. And I think what is more important than that, I think people are getting quite at ease of what I would call making the call. And making the call is when you recognise that there is somebody that is slightly out of character, or you can see that there is something not right. I think more and more people are getting into the notion now of being able to say, are you okay? Or you don't look good, or is there anything I can do? And whereas before, I think that a lot of people are getting into the notion of like, it's none of my business, don't get involved, don't want to hurt someone's feelings, don't want to upset them, don't want to be doing this.
Yeah.
So I do think things are changing.
Yeah.
I really do think things are changing. Well, guys, we are coming to the end of this podcast, and I just wanted to say thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it. We're going to be running a whole series of different podcasts and exploring the way that we think and the way that we feel impact upon the way that we do things in life. I'm just going to sort of pass over to Glenn, just to sort of anything that you wanted to finish off there and say anything to anybody.
I've not got anything.
But
thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Jazz?
No, not really as far. Just, I think it's everyone's mental health is important at the end of the day. I feel like it's important to invest in yourself emotionally, mentally, physically, everything. And so, you know, part of talking is part of that. So, just to take care of yourself overall.
Absolutely. And I think that is a really, really interesting message there. And I think it's the best one. You've got to look after yourself. You may be thinking about how you can connect with us. It's really, really simple. We're on Revolution Radio every single Thursday at 1 o'clock, where we discuss and explore a variety of topics. You can come and join us on onetribenetwork.com. And this is a platform where we have the Reality Check as a channel, and you can come and join us and get involved with all of the conversations and posts, trying to support people. And do yourself a favour. Start to be looking at ways of having to start your day and end your day in a positive manner. So, for example, in the morning, do a morning mantra. Look at yourself in the mirror whilst you're cleaning your teeth with your non-dominant hand, and just simply repeat, nothing and no one will change...
Will stop me.
Nothing and no one will spoil my day today. That's what you've got to say. Nothing and no one will spoil my day today. Nothing and no one will spoil my day today. You say that to yourself in the mirror, eye to eye contact, for the time that you've cleaned your teeth. That's going to start to really embed on what it is that you're going to be able to respond to instead of reacting to. So I would like to take this opportunity to say thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch, there's not a problem. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your views. And if you've got a topic that you'd like to explore, and more importantly, if you'd like to become a part of one of the podcasts, just let us know. But until now, till the next time, make sure you look after yourself. And from me, it's goodbye. And from Glenn,
goodbye.
And it's from Jazz,
goodbye. Thank ciao, you, ciao.
Bye-bye.